the Night Bird, Allison Steele, and we're on the inside track with Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin.
How did you pick the name Led Zeppelin?
Well, that was Keith Moon's trip. It's, I believe you got a term over here, lead balloon, which means, you know, a lot of hot air, but it doesn't go anywhere, you know?
It means a bomb, really. I mean, you went over like a lead balloon.
Right, a nowhere thing, so it's a good way to start.
In other words, that with a name like that, anything that you did better would be a real surprise?
Right, yeah. As in Swan Song, which is like the last cry. The swan never makes a noise, never makes a sound until it dies.
That's right. It sings its final song as it soars into heaven, as the legend goes.
So we thought we'll start the label at the end.
Fantastic. When you started with Led Zeppelin, of course, that first album, did you in those days have any idea or feeling about becoming the supergroup that you are?
No, I really... My limits of perception were far removed from how they are now. I couldn't even envisage America, let alone stardom, you know? When I got off the plane in L.A. and saw a cop with a gun, I mean, oof. There were so many things that I had to see and feel and touch, let alone mass acceptance. Not only mass acceptance, but the way that we've been accepted. We aren't accepted for a physical trip, particularly, or a violent trip, or whatever you like. It's such a very, very communicative rapport that we've developed, you know, which really... I mean, you can be popular, but popularity is okay. But if you take it to its extreme limits, and you develop a rapport such as the one that we have now got with people, where we're more or less sitting on their laps, you know, it's that close.
We've been on the inside track with Led Zeppelin. I'm Allison Steele. This is the Night Bird, Allison Steele, and we're on the inside track with Chuck Mangione. Chuck, do you still live in Rochester, New York?
Yes.
It's still your home base.
Oh, yeah.
It's Rochester is not the layperson's image of the music center of the world. What is it that keeps you there other than your family? Anything?
In addition to my children, my parents are there, and it's friends, really. It's like your roots are a place that you go that always feels comfortable, you know, and it's a place that I've just always been to and liked the way it feels, so I go back. Certainly not the weather.
No,
it's
that's
certainly
for
not
sure.
The easiest place to get travel out of, but I have always been able to, and I think there are sophisticated people who do allow a creative thing to happen if somebody really pursues it. I mean, I was doing concerts with orchestras there, and playing all the time my music long before I could play it anyplace else.
What happened in Rochester with all the people that you grew up with that are carpenters or mechanics? Or what's your relationship now? What's Chuck Mangione, the superstar? What does he mean to them? Anything different?
I think, you know, people now, they are starstruck when they see you physically, you know, and they relate to that kind of thing. But I try to avoid that kind of feeling from anybody, you know. I'm just a B-flat honker who likes to make music, and I never would want anybody to try to elevate my being to something more than that, you know. And it's not just a family of immediate people, but there's a wonderful feeling of friends and people who've been very special to you, and that they deserve to always be the same kind of people in relationship to me.
And they can cope with it, apparently.
Everybody...
Because that's usually what happens. It's not that you can't do it, it's that they can't. Because
well,
they're
so far, it's been all right, you know. It's been nice.
We've been on the inside track with Chuck Mangione. I'm Allison Steele. This is the Night Bird, Allison Steele, and we're on the inside track with Daryl Hall and John Oates.
The night hour, almost over.
Do you think, Daryl and John, that the current kind of, like I characterize the new wave as a renaissance to the early 60s, late 50s and early 60s, where we had raw Stones, raw Beatles, that kind
of
thing?
Yeah, it's definitely getting back to the band. The band is the nucleus rather than the production and
the horn sections are gone. It's back to the
which is good because it's a centering effect. It's a sort of a recycling of everyone's thoughts and their approach to music, which sort of bring back to sort of a base to rebuild again, you know, which is it's a good sign.
Yeah, the self-contained idea, you know, it leaves a lot more room for flexibility, and that's another thing we're glad about, because I love the idea of being flexible, being able to jump different ways. It's the best thing, and the only way you can really do that is when you're working with a combination of people.
Well, jumping back and forth for Hall & Oates could be a tremendous plus. On the other hand, it could be a problem. For instance, if you do jump back and forth and do whatever you choose to do, then you're never pinned. However, the reverse side of that coin is that your fans sometimes don't have the kind of clear-cut image that they will have of other groups.
Exactly.
That's always been our problem.
Yeah, we've been wrestling with that problem for years.
It is a problem.
Oh, yeah, it's always been, because we've always towed the line. Sometimes we'll do a more rocky album, sometimes we'll do an R&B album. It goes back and forth. People never know what to expect from us.
Yeah.
And in some ways, that's good, because it's, as far as our longevity goes, I mean, we've been around now for we've been pretty popular for 5 years now.
Yes.
And we still, but nobody's really pegged us with a movement or a moment in time.
Yeah.
Like, we're not like the Eagles or so-and-so, you know, and that's good, because that means that we're just kind of free of the stigma of that, you know. We don't have those strikes against us.
We've been on the Inside Track with Daryl Hall and John Oates. I'm Allison Steele. This is the Night Bird, Allison Steele, and we're on the Inside Track with Nicolette Larson. Nicolette, you sang backup to a lot of big names, Neil Young, Emmylou Harris, Gary Stewart, before you began a solo. Who do you think that you worked with that was most instrumental, that taught you the most to put you where you are today?
Well, I learned a lot from Emmylou Harris about country music, which I had just sort of had that happen chance to fall into for the first couple of years I was singing. And Linda Ronstadt taught me an awful lot. We're real good friends, and so I sing over at her house a lot, and she's probably one of the most encouraging people I've ever known in my life. She just will sit down with you for hours and sing. We'd sing and play guitar in front of the fireplace. And she was just fabulous about teaching me how to breathe and hold your note out this long.
Isn't that wonderful? Have you found that being a woman, I know it's a trite question, but every girl out there is interested in knowing the answer. Have you felt stifled or held back?
No, I don't think so. If anything, sometimes it gives you a little bit of an edge, because sometimes the record companies would rather have a meeting with you than have a meeting with some guy with a beard.
It's true.
So sometimes it's nicer. I think sometimes they're maybe a little surprised that I can follow their conversation, because I'll just jump right in there with them, you know, okay, 7.25%, da 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 da, and they kind of go, well,
You're not afraid of being thought too aggressive?
No, I don't think so, because I want to know everything about it that you could possibly know. It's just, I think if you were in insurance, you'd want to know all about insurance companies. So I enjoy learning about record companies, and I want to understand what makes it work so that I can put my best energy into it, too. Maybe that's the only place you might be discriminated against, that they might not think you were bright enough to do that.
We've been on the Inside Track with Nicolette Larson. I'm Allison Steele. This is the Night Bird, Allison Steele, and we're on the Inside Track with Cliff Richard. Cliff, you've remained a star for a long time. I know you've got lots of talent, but I also think your manager, Peter Gormley, must have been of great help to you. Do you think it's enough to have just talent, or do you think it's as important to have great management?
I don't know how we can. You can't separate the two, really. Mm. First and foremost, I would say that originally there has to be an original spark of talent,
yes,
which somebody then nurtures, mm, and hopefully that's going to be a wise, loving manager.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the loving area of it left management years ago, it seems to me, and people manipulate. Yeah. I mean, it, in a way, it's easy to manipulate talent, because if someone's already got it, you just have to manipulate it. Whereas I feel that with Peter, when he looked after my band, as individuals, like Hank Marvin is a name that many people might have heard of because of Clapton, for instance, Eric,
yes,
Clapton, because of the Beatles, who,
yes,
who are only too quick to say that they were inspired by people like Hank.
Sure.
So that Peter has cared for us individually and seen that our social life and our private lives, mm, are satisfactory, purpose-filled or whatever. You know, he cares for us as individuals so that we're free to express ourselves artistically. And of course, there again, as a businessman, I've already said he's a very astute man. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to manipulate in the right sense of the word. I haven't done concerts in this country since 1963 because both he and I think it's wrong for me to have done it. But now he thinks it's right for me to do it, because now when I go on stage, I'll be able to sing at least two singles that people might remember,
mm-hmm,
Devil Woman and, mm, We Don't Talk Anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's had great advice for me, and I can't speak too highly of him.
It's wonderful.
Just, I'm not sure I answered your question about whether it's talent or management. No, I think they go hand in glove.
Yeah. Would you say that an artist had a better chance if they had enormous talent and terrible management, or had lesser talent and great management? Do you have any idea on that?
Well, I would say that if you had enormous talent,
you'd make
nothing
it anyway.
Could stop you making it.
We've been on the Inside Track with Cliff Richard. I'm Allison Steele.
Two girls for every boy. Surf City, here we come.
This is the Night Bird, Allison Steele, and we're on the Inside Track with Jan and Dean. Jan, your accident was a long ordeal for you. I'm sure you must have been depressed a lot. Did anyone specifically do anything to help lift your spirits?
Well, I know one time that I was in the hospital, and Lou Adler and a girlfriend came with him.
Lou's a nice man.
And he came in the hospital into my room, and he came afterwards, a projection and a screen and everything like this, and he started to roll it, and he says, "This is Laurel and Hardy." And boy, I love Laurel and Hardy anyway.
He really got
so
you.
So I just sort of lift my whole personality.
That's great. Dean, I think you can probably answer this question from an objective point of view. Your career was cut short at a very odd time, when you were really at the top of the heap. What was the attitude of the people in the business? Was there rallying around? Did people say, "Oh yeah, see you, fella," you know?
Well, we didn't really have that traditional amount of friends within the business.
Mm.
We were going to school, mm, 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have, our whole lives weren't evolved around people we knew in the business anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, to try and be fair, because I don't really remember, and I kind of insulated myself from thinking about those things, because realistically I always knew that probably going to happen anyway someday. I'd say it's like 50-50.
Yeah.
50% of your friends really became even tighter friends, and 50% of them you never saw again until the next time you're on the charts.
Yeah, did you learn something from that? Did it?
No, we knew going in.
Yeah,
even at that young
age. Huh?
Yeah, I think we were pretty realistic about the business and about where it can lead you and leave you.
It's the little old lady from Pasadena. The little old lady from Pasadena.
This is the Night Bird, Allison Steele, and we're on the Inside Track with Jan and Dean. Dean, Jan's accident happened just at the time when the Beatles were changing the face of music. What do you think might have happened to Jan and Dean's career had the accident not happened?
Well, of course, yeah, that is really pure speculation. But, okay, as long as we're speculating, our tunes were always had a little bit of humor in them anyway, and satirical. I don't know if we would have had as rough, like, music metamorphosis as somebody else who was taking their music very seriously, and their music wasn't accepted. Ours could always maybe be accepted for a little bit longer, or even through the period of time because of its sense of humor. But you have to also remember that the, well, I'll backstep one. We had sold a television series that was going to go opposite the Monkees.
I was just going to mention the Monkees.
And the Monkees had the biggest selling album of that period of time anyway.
Yeah.
And they were certainly rock comedians. And I think rock comedians might have been able to get by that period of time a lot easier than serious musicians whose music was maybe fading.
That's a good assessment. I think the Monkees probably would have lasted too if not for their internal problems. And you probably would have been, I was going to say Monkees, Spoonful, Zappa, not quite so avant-garde, perhaps.
Well, we were starting to come to a pretty avant-garde.
Were you?
Yeah, we had cut probably the most avant-garde album that we had ever done around that period of time. And matter of fact, left our company just maybe two months before Jan's accident over a philosophical point of view of this particular record, which was a really avant-garde for us, and a lot less music and a lot more humor.
So you really had kind of foreseen what was happening?
Not really. We just kind of were falling into it. We were getting bored doing what we were doing.
We've been on the Inside Track with Jan and Dean. I'm Allison Steele.